to Geordie and Guns, episode 2, podcast, an Australian RC podcast, joined by my regular co-host, Geordie. Hey, mate, how are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Great, thanks. Good to be back. It's been 2 weeks. It's been pretty exciting, actually. We've had a fair amount of people liking the video and watching it, and it's been cool. How about your own? You've had much going on at your side?
Yeah, the feedback's been all positive, so that's good to see.
It is. I mean, we get people with... The reason we're doing this is just to promote the Australian RC scene and get more people talking about it and interested. So, yeah, it's so far it seems to be doing that, and hopefully it'll just keep on growing, I guess, Geordie, eh?
Yeah, for sure.
Right, this is episode 2, so we're going to go through our normal structure. Our interview person this week is Jared Ment. We did have an attempt at it before we recorded the show, but it was an epic fail on my part with the technology, so we'll have to try it another time, but we can do everything else. So how have you been for 2 weeks, Geordie? How you been last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I've just been having school, working a bit part-time, so keeping busy with schoolwork.
And you haven't been on the track in that time, have you?
No, we haven't raced since the state titles, so yeah.
Neither have I. It's killing me.
Yeah, same. We'll talk. Keen to get back
here. I am too. We'll talk about the racing program, what we're doing, because we haven't raced each. Normally we will have raced. Obviously next time we would have raced, but this time was just a 2 week thing after state titles. We didn't get any races in, so we'll talk about that. So first of all, let's go through some news. First one is the TLR Queensland Cup at Nationals have been announced, 18th, 19th, and 20th of March in QLD. Looks interesting. What are your thoughts on carpet racing, Geordie? Done it before?
I haven't actually raced on carpet, but our backyard track is outdoor carpet. So I really like driving on it, but yeah, I haven't really experienced the racing side of it.
So I was talking to you off camera, but I watch RC videos all the time, right? So, you know, Come Drive of Us or any videos of the pros racing. I struggle to watch carpet races. I don't think
it's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like watching on-road racing either. So to me, it feels like on-road with jumps. So it's probably why I don't like it so much.
Yeah, true.
But I don't know. But I mean, I haven't tried it. And if there was a race on, I'd go for sure. But I'm not going to the Cup at Nationals.
But anyway. Yeah.
You should see. Jared said he might be going up. So it'd be interesting to see if a couple of dudes go up, how it goes.
Yeah, and I think that track is the Mozzie RC one, the small indoor track.
Ah, yeah.
It's one of the newer tracks up there.
Right, awesome. It's good to see. I mean, more racing in Australia, the better, right? Like, it's
for sure.
Not going to knock back races, are we? So
no,
that's cool.
More races, the better.
Definitely. Right, what's the next item on the news there, Geordie?
I've got Rated Monday's unofficial RC calendar, so which covers all the racing around Australia, which is good. It's all well set out. Yeah, it's got all the 1/10th Victorian side, the Australian wide side of it, and then the 1/8th Victorian and the Australian scene in it.
Yeah, so I reached out to him. He does it on Facebook. We'll put a link in the show notes to this as well as to the Carpet Nationals. But, like, you can do a Google Calendar, which is public, and anyone can, you know, you can create things. I was sort of saying, should we do something like that? I know we kind of feel it's something that the governing body should be doing, like, an official calendar. But good on Ray. He's a legend, as always, and he's got it going, and it's available for anyone. So it's pretty good. He's got all – like, it's more Victorian-centric, which makes sense, but he's got 1/8 stuff on there as well, and so it's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's cool. And last quick one is we've got a GRC Racing Facebook page. It's mainly a home for this and stuff that I do personally, so I'm just going to put up some stuff I do and also the shows so we don't always flood other people's pages when we do posts. So it's like, so that'd be good. You've got your own page as well, your racing page, haven't you?
Yeah, I put on my posting, my racing posts up on that.
Yeah.
Just to have it separate from my normal account.
Yeah, we'll put both links to that, both those. GRC Racing one's my personal one, but it's going to have the podcast stuff on, but Geordie's got one as well. So we'll put them up there for you and you can check them out. Cool. So that's the Australian news in the last 2 weeks. Nothing major going on. There'll be some extra stuff coming up shortly when we've got some of the bigger races happening and some of the international stuff that's coming, which is really, really cool. So we'll have a very quick break. We'll come back with what races we're going to attend the next couple of weeks, which is quite exciting. It's a bit new.
Yeah.
Welcome back. It was a quick break. We're now going to talk about what races we've got coming up. Geordie, take us away, son. Let's go.
Yeah. So on Sunday, we've got the local Keilor Club Day. So back on the home ground of the 2022 Victorian State title track. So yeah, it should be much better this weekend. It's still going to be pretty hot, like mid-30s, I think. So
is it still hot down there?
Yeah, it's still been quite warm, actually.
It's been raining here a fair bit, but the last few days have been nice, but nothing like hot. Yeah, nothing like when I was there. It was like 35.
Yeah, that was a bit deadly.
What sort of turnout do you reckon you'll have?
I reckon it'll still be pretty big, especially because it's still fairly new track, so everyone's still keen to learn the track as well. So I reckon about 90 to 100 entries for our club day.
Wow, that'd be unreal.
Which is what we usually get around, yeah, anywhere just around 100 we usually get.
I think people are confused because someone asked me, am I going? And I went, to kill. Said, no, that was a one-off. I won't be going to Victoria again. I want to go again, but I don't know when the next time will be. But, and someone asked me about Wodonga. So you're going to Wodonga as well, aren't you?
Yeah, that's next weekend, the 19th, I think, which is a Saturday. So that's like an afternoon race. Yeah, it's going to be pretty big. It's on the what's known as the red clay track, which is why, yeah, it's a really good track, fast-flowing layout. It usually gets pretty bumpy as well, but it also grooves up really nice in the afternoon coming into the night.
I've got a photo up in the background for people watching on YouTube. So yeah, when I was looking at it, it looks cool, but it's is it narrow or is it just a photo?
I think it's just the photo. Right. It's 3 meters wide everywhere.
Okay.
Well, every time we've been there, it's always been like that.
And it looks really cool. It looked like it'd be super fun to race on. It's like a miniature 1/8 track, it looks like.
Yeah. Well, the side long straight, yeah, that gets up to some quick speed through there.
And is it a big race meet?
It's a big event, but it's not a sanctioned event, but it's known as a big event in Victoria. So yeah, I think there's 11 heats because they've had to cap it at 20 per class. Yeah, so they had to cap it because it's only a 1 day event as well. If they didn't cap it, it would have gone for way too long.
And they're running a lot of classes, are they?
Yeah, so 2-wheel mod, 4-wheel mod, 2-wheel stock, 4-wheel stock, stadium truck. Junior class, and there's a 21.5 class as well.
Wow, what, I can't believe. All right, we're going to talk about this a bit later, about stock mod and all this stuff, but having a slow stock, standard stock, and then mod seems like a bit of overkill. But anyway, we'll talk about the merits of that later in the show. But it looks good. Yeah. It's good, man. So it's a bit like King of the Hills, like it's a big race, but it's not a state titles or is that a similar thing?
Yeah, you could say it's similar, yeah. Well, we've got some New South Wales guys coming down for it as well. So, yeah, actually, the A-Main field is almost like a nationals field.
Wow. So someone asked me if I was going. I think Alejandro did, you know, and I was like, no. But then, yeah, maybe next time I'll come next year. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I can get it.
You're going to be missing out. Yeah,
that'd be awesome. Right, so you're racing the next 2 weeks in a row. Lucky you.
Yeah, busy.
Kick-ass. Right, so me, I'm racing on Saturday at Ride, which is our club spotlight. We'll talk about it in a minute, but that's amazing. So my XB2 is almost finished. I know it feels like I take a long time, but I've got a very busy life. So I kind of squeeze in an hour or so here or there each night. Finishing touches, I'm just putting in, I put a post up yesterday. I'm actually putting the radio gear in just before I did this, recording this. And I've got to just solder the motor in. I'm actually putting a 10.5 in it because at Ride, they do open class. There's no stock or mod. So essentially, they just scrapped stock, right? Like you can come up with any motor you want. Some guys still race their stock cars. It's fine. But you're allowed to use boost and stuff. So you can basically do whatever you want. So I've raced there before with 10.5 on my tour drive and a 7.5 on my 4. Absolutely loved it. So I'm going to do that. That should be pretty cool. They do night racing there. So it starts at like 2 o'clock and goes till dark and have floodlights, which is unreal. So
cool.
Yeah, I'm going to love that. So that's tomorrow. So it'd be debut for my XB2. And then in 2 weeks' time, which we'll probably have a podcast just before it, I'm racing 1/8 at the Proline Series in Canberra, which is my first 1/8 race in 12 years. I'm super excited. Bunch of people going from Sydney. Should be a pretty good field. My goal is not to come last. So
Oh, no. Are you racing nitro as well?
Yeah, no, I've gone whole hog. I've got both a nitro and an e-buggy, but I'm just doing nitro because if we're going to do 1.8, then I might as well go the whole hog and just do petrol. So
yeah, that's right.
As long as the car doesn't flame out the whole time. But I've got an old Hot Bodies D817 version 2. It's the one that Ronald Falk used to win Vegas Worlds in 2016. So that's 5-year-old chassis. Yeah. But I don't know, it's still a pretty good car.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you have to get onto the X-ray ones.
Yeah, I know. I said to Sekol Brothers, because I'm going down, I'm staying with the X-ray guys, because I run X-ray, obviously, I do now, for 1/10.
Yeah.
But I don't have an X-ray car, so yeah, I might get one. If I do enough racing, I definitely will, but whether I do we'll see. So we'll have to come back and talk about our races once we do it, Geordie. So Badonga sounds awesome. Hopefully someone gets some footage or something of it. It'd be cool.
Yeah, we'll have to get a couple of videos to share on the podcast.
Are your brother racing? Your dad's going with you or what?
Yeah, we're all going. Mum, dad, my two brothers. Yeah, Lincoln's racing the junior class and Mitchell's racing in the two-wheel drive stock class. And then myself in mod.
You're doing both mods?
Yeah, two-wheel and four-wheel, yeah.
So who's your biggest – so is Lachlan Donnelly going down and Jared?
Yeah, Jared's going and Donnelly's coming as well. And we've also got Lockie and Ray Monday going. And then, the X-ray team from up Sydney, Ari, Peter.
Oh, wow.
Peter Sekol and all that, Ben Cribben as well. So, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a big – it is nationals, except for the Queenslanders.
Yeah, basically.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Oh, I was so stinging. I wish I was going now. That's going to be much harder than I can't wait to see how you go. And it's no one's home track really, right? Are there any fast guys in Wodonga?
There's a couple local guys that are pretty quick. But yeah, like from Melbourne and Sydney, it's not really our home track. And we haven't really raced there. Well, I haven't raced there for over 3 years.
Oh, so it's actually like a neutral venue, all the fastest drivers.
Yeah, it's in like the middle of Sydney and Melbourne, like in between.
I want to come down.
Yeah.
This sounds amazing.
Yeah, you have to come down.
I might fly down, just film the mains, come back. So where's Wodonga? Is it near the border, is it? Oh, Albury Wodonga, of course it is. Yeah.
Albury Wodonga.
Yeah, we stayed there when I was on the way back from Vic State Titles.
Yeah.
Wow.
It'll be a really good event.
Yeah, that's kicker. So how far from your house is it?
4.5-hour drive if we don't stop. So,
okay.
Bit of a hike.
And the whole family's going. You've got a big car or what?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Something I wanted to tell you. I want to tell your dad. So when we were at Vic-Tech Titles, I consider myself semi-pro, right? As much as I'm not fast, but I have all the gear, everything's smick, you know. So Geordie's dad unfolds his table and it's got like marine carpet glued to the surface of the fold-out table. And I was like, oh my God, like that is amazing. So, because I have the rubber mat that you roll out and it's just crappy.
Yeah. The pit.
So, I've done it. I'll put a photo up on the Facebook page. But I got it. I went to boating, what's a BCF? And I bought some marine carpet glue and I did it. And it looks unreal. So,
that's pretty true.
Yeah. Tell your dad, he's a legend. So, I'll do a post. And I'll do a quick video of it because I reckon he might start a trend. I'm not sure if it – does anyone else do it or just
– Yeah, there's a couple of local guys from Kiel that they were on it before us. And then, we just did it after them.
Yeah,
it's just easier.
Yeah.
You don't have to roll out the pit mat. And, it covers the whole table.
Yeah, the pit mat sucks. It never covers the table properly.
Yeah.
The only thing I did – so I rocked up with my own – so people from overseas in Australia – there's very few sheltered pits, right? Like, I know in the States, it seems like there's a lot of areas where there's a big undercover pit area. So everyone takes their own marquees, like a, foldable marquee, take your own tables. So I rock up with my marquee and then your dad, his is, I think, a 3-meter one.
Yeah, 3x3.
So I had envy. Yeah. So I went and bought one. So I've got a 3-meter one as well. So I'm like...
Even more pro.
I'm just so much more pro. I just need to get the X-ray sign and my life will be complete. And win a race at some stage in my life. But, I'm loving it. So that was really good. So hopefully everyone's going to be so envious in Sydney. I don't know if anyone does that in Sydney. So anyway, that was a bit of a segue.
Yep.
But I thought it was cool to talk about. All right. Where we go? Racing recap. That's good. Okay, so might as well just go into the club spotlight. We talked about Kilo last week, so this week we'll talk about Ride. Next episode, we're actually going to get Matty Leachy and Kyle McBride, the pro, the actual Australian pro, talk about 1/8 scale in Brisbane. So we're going to just do different tracks. So if you are interested, please reach out to us. Matty reached out to me straight away after the first episode and wanted to come on and talk about 1/8 in Brisbane, which is really cool. So let's do that. And hopefully he's raced at Chargers as well. So we might get some inside information about that for Queensland. The Nationals and the Queensland state titles. Ride is in a west of Sydney or northwest of Sydney, the city centre. It's quite a cool track. It's been there for years. One of the most historical tracks in Australia. It was like people been racing on that site for 30 or so years. It's crazy. It's a really good club. They have floodlights, good facility. It's fenced off, so you can't get bikes onto it, which is really good. So all the knuckleheads that ride their push bikes on tracks. The Seckold brothers took over and became president and vice president about a year ago, and they've done some really good things at the club. I mentioned they do the open class now, so there's no stock and mod. So I get to race with Ari. I had a race. Last time I raced there, which is a while ago, was the commentator said, Ari Barkla, Lachlan Donnelly. I happened to be third. I don't know how. Oh. I did end up third, right? For about a lap. You know how it does it at different times? It happened to be that time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was a highlight of my career. I ended up coming. Perfect. I came sixth or something, but I was in the A main with them, which is – I never get a chance to race against you guys, so it was quite cool that
– Yeah.
Like, it's not a big – it's a big enough field to make it fun, but I can just normally squeeze into the A's even though it's got the mod guys in it. So, it was awesome. Yeah. Anyway, so
– I like the idea of having that mod, like, open class, like, encourages more people to move up to the mod class.
Yeah, because I don't know, like, so just talk about Kilo this weekend. How many mod guys will you get?
Well, we usually get about 10 to 15 on a club day.
See, that's really good, right? But we don't get that, right? We get 4 or 5.
Yeah, true.
Even at Hills, where we get massive amount of, like, 100 and something entries, there's still only 4 or 5. So it's kind of like, and they're so quick. Even when a top stock guy goes up, like Chris Milton, who's one of the fastest guys, he tried it for a couple of months, but he just couldn't make a dent in him, right? And even Ben Cribben, he was destroying stock for a while 18 months ago. I mean, he's good in mod, but he's still, it's very rare he beats Jared or Lockie or Ari, right?
Yeah.
So I think people see that and go, so, I mean, Ben Cribben's way faster than me in stock. And to see him go up and come fifth pretty regularly, it makes it hard. But when you're forced to do it, so all of a sudden there's 30 people tomorrow night or 40 in open. So the fact that the top 5 guys are super fast doesn't really matter. Like for me, I either come 10th or 5th, if they, or 15th. That I, you know what I mean? Like it's, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's a good experience to just try the faster cars as well.
Yeah, that's what it is too. Because we were forced to, we weren't forced to do it, because we thought, oh, I'll try it. I loved it. Like just using the mod. I didn't go crazy. Like it's not super, I was just still not trying it to crash, doing the normal things. But it just felt, it was heaps of fun. And there's a couple of triples you can't do with stock, you can do with mod. So
it's quite fun. But. Yeah. Yeah, I think you learn a lot more with throttle control as well in modified.
I agree. So my current, I've segued, before I get into that, with Ride, it's on the 2nd and 4th Saturday. It's either during summer, it's Saturday nights, which is really cool because it's not as hot. So it's the 2nd and 4th weekend. Hills is 1st and 3rd. So there's good racing every weekend in Sydney. The tracks are only like 20 minutes apart from each other, half an hour apart. So it's pretty cool. So that's Ride. It's sydneyrc.com, and I'll put the link in the show notes. They have some awesome things, like there's a good novice. They have a club car that anyone can borrow. So you can rock up with no car, no radio. They'll give it to you under use in the 540 or the novice, and you can just go around. So,
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good for new people. Everyone's super friendly. It's not ultra competitive. But the state titles are being run there this year. So
Yeah.
the track will get redone, but yeah, it's going to be there. So that's going to make numbers get a bit higher and that kind of thing. But anyway, sydneyrc.com, it's a great club.
Yeah. Do you know if they're keeping the same kind of clay surface
They're
for the
trying
stadium?
not to.
Okay.
There's a with that clay surface, it's a so for people who don't know, it's got a clay surface, which is unreal, but it takes days of prep to get enough water
Yeah.
into it. If you get it wrong, it breaks up. If you wanted to go there to practice outside of race day, it's almost useless because the track is just completely different. Like it's full
Yeah, okay.
dusty, no grip, rocks everywhere. But when it's treated, it's one of the best tracks I've ever raced on. Like it's super smooth,
Yeah.
and so it breaks up even for a single night. So to do a state titles, I reckon on the fourth day it'll be a mess. Like,
Yeah.
so they're trying to get an oil track, something similar to Keilor, I think, is what they're trying
Yeah,
to do.
I remember coming up there, I think it was 2016 or 2017 for their state titles, and yeah, the track was phenomenal because we're racing under the lights, I think, as well.
It's unreal. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's unreal. So let's see. Like it'll be the same spot. It'll have the lights. But they're gonna redo the layout. And I've kind of involved a little bit with the committee. So there's some good talk around what the track's gonna look like. So we'll see.
That's good.
Yeah. But state titles. And you're coming up for that, aren't you? I think.
Yeah,
Awesome.
we'll definitely be coming up.
Right, so anyway, sydneyrc.com, they've got an awesome web page. They're pretty active, very active. The biggest chat for off-road RC is probably the Sydney RC chat. It's got like 1,000 people in it or something. Really active.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the Victorian people are on it too, but yeah. Anyway, so that's the club spotlight for Ride, Sydney RC. So just realised the Wodonga picture's still up, but that's fine. That black and white picture behind me, that's Ride at night. So if you're watching on the YouTube. Right, so Geordie, you've raced there just for state titles. You've been a bit up there any other time?
No, I believe that's it. Just 4 or 5 years ago.
All right, awesome. So hopefully we'll see you. And if state titles there, they redo the track, you might sneak up for a practice, maybe. I'm sure the Mondays will.
Maybe. Might fly up.
We'll see. All right, cool. That was Spotlight, Club Spotlight. We're gonna take a quick break. Come back. Wrenching corner where I'm gonna we've got a listener question and Geordie's gonna school us in some of his expertise and wrenching the car. We're back soon. Cheers. Welcome back to Geordie and Guns podcast episode 2. I'm joined by a special guest today, Jared Ment. Hey Jared.
Hey guys, how you going?
Good to have you on board. So those who don't know, well, Jared will introduce himself in a minute, but he's a local gun racer. We'll find out more about him. This is something we're going to do regularly, interviewing all sorts of racing personalities from the Australian scene. So Jared, you're the first one. I did Geordie last time, but he's part of the podcast, but you're the first external driver. So welcome and tell us a bit about yourself, Jared.
Yeah, hey guys. So my name is Jared Ment. I'm from Sydney, Australia. I currently drive for Team Associated, Reedy, J Concepts, J Spec, Ricky Designs, DRC, and Campbelltown Hobbies.
Awesome. You're a 110th specialist, Jared. Is that all you do? 110th off-road?
Yeah, well, I've got an on-road car. At the moment, I'm just trying to focus on 110th off-road and get dialed in there. And then maybe in the near future, a year or two, I'd probably pick up a nitro car, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm racing at the I raced Nitro 12 years ago. I'm racing down at Canberra in a couple of weeks, and there's a couple of your mates, a couple of the local dudes are going down, so should
Yeah,
be
Canberra's
good.
a bad track.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Jared, so you've run just to talk about a bit of your history, you've run a couple of big races, or you've definitely podiumed some. So you're podium in the New South Wales state titles this year
Yeah.
in Tour Drive, was it?
Yeah, Tour Driver managed to end up second.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Vic state titles, Tour Drive again, you were third.
Yeah.
Yep. And you won the stadium truck.
Cool.
And sixth, I think you were in the four drive. So is Tour Drive normally better for you, or it just happened to be the way it worked out?
I don't know when, like, I've always just preferred Tour Drive, and I think in the past we spent a lot of time just dialing in the Tour Drive because it's always the harder class to drive, really. So I think we just spent many days getting that car dialed, and only recently, like, we've been putting in bulk effort into the four wheel drive to get, like, my driving style to suit that, the car to suit me a bit more.
Awesome. And how old when you started, Jared? You one of those young prodigies or what?
Yeah, I believe, well, I probably had a radio in my hand from about five, but I think I started racing at like 8 or 9.
Awesome. And you started in South Africa?
Yeah, we started in South Africa, in the scene down there.
And what's it like? I've got no idea. Is it much different? Is there many tracks, or how popular is it?
Yeah, the racing is, like, racing is racing, and it's pretty similar there. I don't think you have as big of a club scene, but it's like more national rounds yearly. So we got 4 or 5 national rounds there. And then in 10 scale, like, it's like there were some dirt tracks when I was there, but now it's like outdoor carpet or indoor carpet. Like, it's fully carpet spec.
Have you raced carpet? Like, the carpet nationals got announced in Queensland, right?
Yeah.
In Australia. So, I mean, in the States, a lot of 110s is carpet indoors these days. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I love carpet. Put me on carpet, I'm in my element.
Really?
Yeah. Awesome. Carpet's the best.
Wow. I don't know. I've never tried it, so I shouldn't talk about it. I don't like watching it. I love watching racing all the time, but I struggle to watch carpet races. But, I mean, I still fine, but I'll have to give it a go one time.
Like, indoor carpet is much better. Like, wooden jump faces, like, where it's the same thing every single lap. Like, there's no inconsistencies in the track. That's what I like about carpet. It's like, if there's a dirt track that was exact same, I'd be happy on that as well.
That's probably going to be pretty hard. Yeah. What was your first RC car?
So my first RC car was a team associated T3 stadium truck.
Right.
Just bashing it in the garden, taking out sprinklers, lampposts, you name it.
And then when you turned to racing, what's your first race with?
Yeah, so when I started racing, my first car was a TLR 22 SET. So I started in short course class.
Now, you mentioned TLR, right? So you used to be a TLR driver and you switched maybe 18 months ago or something, was it?
Yeah, it's still a pretty recent move. Team associated.
And how was that move for you? How did it work out? And, you know, obviously, I think you went really well straight away.
Yeah, the change was pretty seamless for me. Like, I knew there was no problem with the TLR cars or equipment. It was just the matter of the fact that I needed a team around me to help me, like, get to the pace that I know I should be at the track, really. So, like, making the change, it was always going to be easy. I've got the Donnellys and Brad Burko, like, locals with me, so we're already dialed in there from the go. And then nationally, we got a big team as well, so it's super helpful.
Yeah, there's a lot of top drivers. Team Associated, it's a big... For those who don't know, it's 1/10 scale in Australia, pretty much Team Associated and X-Ray are probably the two biggest.
Yeah.
There are still some, I mean, the Solars are still TLR, there's Yokomo, but yeah, it's pretty much those two at the clubbies, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much that. And that's the main reason. Like, I think all the cars now are all, like, getting to a very similar spot, but it's just, if you've got a team, it's so much easier. Yeah. Like, you can all work together and it's that much easier.
What's your best achievement in the racetrack so far? Was it the state titles? Well, yeah. What do you think your best race or your favorite?
I think I've had a couple, like, especially with Team Station, I've had some really good results recently, and, like, they all, like, have their own value to me in a different way. But probably King of the Hills, winning the tour drive portion, just that was probably like 2 or 3 months after swapping to Associated. I hadn't done a club day with the cars. I'd done 2 practice days or something, and then I managed to win that. So it was just like a really good statement, like, I'm there from the get-go. I don't have to wait to get used to these cars now.
I interviewed you actually on my YouTube channel after I remember that was you. Right, you drove so well that day. You beat Lachlan. I remember that. Yeah, that was kick-ass. That was your first outing, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah, that was my first outing. Like, I don't think I might have done 1 club day and 1 practice day. Like, it was still so fresh. The cars were brand new.
Yeah, awesome. Like, so you're obviously very good. You're part of the team driver. What's your aspirations? Like, have you been to a Worlds? Do you want to do that? Like, you have raced in the States once before, haven't you, I think?
Yeah, I went to, like, a team boot camp in the States once with TLR back then. And I've done an 8-scale Worlds, but I wasn't nearly ready enough for that Worlds yet. So, like, I'm definitely waiting for the next 10-scale Worlds. I'll be there as soon as I can. And then Dad and I have been planning a trip to the US again this year.
Awesome.
go race against the best.
What 8K Worlds did you go to? Was the Australian one in Perth? Or?
Yeah, the Perth ones.
Oh, kick ass. That's good. Ari Barkley came top 50 then, I think.
Yeah, Ari, all Australian got, like, quite a few of them did. Unreal.
Yeah.
I just, like, I'd driven probably once that year because that was the year we moved from South Africa to here.
Yep.
So just, like, I had other priorities that year and I just really wasn't ready for it.
Yeah. Interesting. So a bunch of Aussies went to the Huddy Arena. Well, the last 1/10th Worlds, right? Which I think now, was it 2018?
19,
yeah. So a lot of your contemporaries like Lachlan Donnelly, Lachlan Monday, Jordan Isagen.
Yeah, Ari.
Yeah, but those guys would have been 12 or whatever. Or
yeah.
How old are you? You're 19 now, aren't you?
18.
So you would have been 14. So yeah. They all went pretty good, right? They all made
like top 60 or 70. Yeah. Something still really good.
So the interesting thing is you guys have improved a bunch since then, right? Like, so I'm really excited to see how you go because
I think so.
Yeah, I can't imagine the top guys have gotten that much better, right? Like compared to you.
The way I think we've probably gotten like 50% better or whatever the number is, they have maybe gotten single digits percent wise better. You know what I mean? Like they're not improving at the rate we're improving. So
it'd be amazing. I don't know do you know where the next ones are? So the next is 1/8 this year, isn't it, I think, in Brazil?
I got moved to Spain, I think.
Oh, okay.
But the 10 scale worlds is, I believe, meant to be in the US again.
Ah, okay, so cool.
I'm not sure if they'll keep it for like, because they've missed their turn because of COVID, so I'm not sure if they'll keep it. No. I would like them to keep it. A high group track would be pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like it's going to be, I can't wait to see you guys go. It's going to be awesome to follow that. Yeah. Cool. What's your best advice for someone starting out? Like, someone's brand new.
Yeah. Well, obviously, like, your equipment's important and what you start with, but not everyone can start with the best. But I think, like, we tell young Lachlan Williams the same thing. Like, preparation is key. Like, you want your car to be at its best, no matter how good or bad that car can be. You want it to be at its best when you hit the track every time.
Yeah.
So, like, freshening up your shocks, freshening up your diffs, whatever it is, just making sure that the car won't let you down.
Yeah. That sounds really good advice. Someone like me, who's average, what do you think is a differentiator between someone like me and, you know, just getting a bit better?
Oh, I'm slower is faster, really, like less mistakes. If you're going a tenth of a lap slower, it's faster than making a 5-second mistake, you know what I mean? That's what I used to tell myself, and it's paid off. Like, I'd rather be consistent than throwing down the hot lap.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. Anything in RC that you'd like to change? Is anything first of all, locally? So in Australian, your scene, is there anything that you think, bothers you, or we should do differently?
Well, I don't think nothing really bothers me. The only thing that I would change and is changing is the driver series. Like, it's no longer a club series in New South Wales, so becoming a driver series is a bit cool.
Yeah,
that would be pretty cool, I reckon.
Yeah.
And then internationally, just more media coverage. Like, we need more brands, more cameras on the cars, everything we can do to just get it out there and grow it.
Yeah, cool. All right, excellent.
Like a podcast.
Yeah, I'm doing my little bit as we go. Do you have a favorite? Like, you're a sportsman, we'll get into that in a minute, but do you have a favorite? Do you like an RC drivers, pro ones, or is there anyone that you kind of look up to?
There's obviously been a few over the years and, like, different people at different times. One that I've always looked up, well, two actually, is probably Adam Drake and Brian Kinwald. They're, like, pretty inspirational to me.
Yeah.
I've always looked up to them, yeah.
Awesome. You probably beat Drake these days, wouldn't you?
Oh, I don't know. He's still pretty fast.
Yeah. No, he is. I saw him do his over 40s or something. He just destroys it whenever he does that.
And there will be a big race and he's still, like, mixing it there with the paid drivers. He is still on it.
Yeah, yeah. He's like he's a manager for Mugen, isn't he, I think, now? Mugen Siggy, I think.
Yeah, he's a team manager.
Team manager, yeah.
Nice.
Awesome. So what other stuff do you do besides RC? I know you do some sports. What do you do?
Yeah, so I play hockey and cricket, like, part-time, really.
Awesome.
I used to take my hockey seriously, but I had a bit of an injury, so we thought it was time to go to a safer sport and pick up RC and go serious into that.
That's good to see. So you are one of the guys that wrenches with your dad's your pit guy, or how does that work? Yeah. We're talking about off camera how I see you, a lot of the guys your age with their dads, like Jordan's the same, you, Lachlan Monday. Yeah. It's pretty good to see someone your age spend so much time with your dad. How's that for you?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Like, when you think about it, we are together, like, all the time. At home, we're together. At the track, we're always together. So, like, it's been really good. And, like, Dad and I have such a good relationship. Like, there's no arguments, nothing really. Like, it's been really positive. And, like, it's nice to know he's always got my back when I need him. And likewise, like, I've got him when he needs it.
Yeah. No, that's really good. You look like you get along really well. And what's your – you've got great mates with Lachlan Donnelly too, aren't you?
Yeah, we're pretty close.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys at the track together. So this year we've got we've got Queensland state titles at Chargers, Nationals are back up there, New South Wales state titles at Ryde. Are you trying to do all of them, or what's your plan? What's your race program?
Yeah, look, like I think if we want to do well at Nationals, we probably have to go up to Chargers for state titles or just a weekend there, whatever it is. So we're definitely going to do one of those options. And then New South Wales titles, we should be in for it for sure. It's at Ryde. It's pretty close. And, yeah, Nationals, of course.
Yeah. Hey. So we've got a group of us doing a road trip up for the Queensland state titles, I think. So that'd be fun. A few of our stock guys. So that should be fun. Yeah, because I was lucky enough to do Victoria. I could do all three this year, which is quite it's been insane. But Chargers, have you been there before on that surface, the six surface?
I've never driven on that surface. Yeah.
Looks interesting. Yeah, it should be good. And then the Nationals are there as well. And obviously, Ryde, Ryde's kind of our local track, right? So you'd be pretty excited about and state titles there.
Yeah, but I think the surface is changing at Ryde and the lap is changing. So it's like I'm excited, but it's not going to be a home track. You know what I mean? It's still going to be a fresh track.
We'll lose a bit of advantage, hey? Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Even the way it is right now, like it can be different weekend to weekend. So you don't actually know what to expect.
Yeah. And so who are your biggest rivals for the state titles? I mean, obviously, it's Ari and Lockie.
For state titles, like New South Wales is going to be like the locals, obviously, Ari, Lockie. Mm. If Jordan comes down, I know he'll be up there with us. So there's five or six fast guys who are always have a shot, no matter where they go at the moment.
Are you going to the Wodonga race?
Yeah, we're heading down to Wodonga.
So for people who don't know, I didn't know this, I found this off camera, but... it's like a Nationals, right? So we've got
Nationals.
Is you, Lachlan Donnelly and Ari going down?
Yeah.
Anyone else from home? Is Cooper going? I don't think so, is he?
He's not running, no.
Okay. But then you've got Jordan Isagen, the Mondays. It's got everyone except for the Queensland guys, really.
It is. It's going to be a good test. And, like, it's a pretty equal playing field there because no one's home track.
It's neutral track, yeah.
It's going to be pretty exciting, I think.
Oh, man, that's unreal. I can't wait to hear it. So when's that? That's in 2 weeks, something, isn't it?
It's next week. So, like, next week, Friday, we'll be driving down.
Oh, shit. So that's good. Are you racing Ryde this Saturday? No, you're not this Saturday, are you?
Not this Saturday.
Okay. All right. I'm debuting my new XB2, so that should be fun. All right. Yeah. Well, anything else you want to mention, Jared?
Oh, nothing really. I think we've covered it. Yep. Thanks for having me, Andrew.
No, it's been great to have you on. Thanks very much. If you've got any questions for anything for Jared, I can pass them on. Please post them. But, yeah, welcome. Well, very good to have you on. Thanks for taking the time. And good luck with your race program this year, mate.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right, cheers. Why you so salty? I'll still take a bite. Okay. You can take my Lambo. Welcome back to episode 2 of the Jordy and Guns podcast. This is Wrenching Corner. And today we actually had a first listener question that is part of Wrenching Corner. So this was from Carlo. He asked about radio settings. So we're going to ask Jordy to tell us about radio settings. Take it away.
Yeah. Well, with radio settings, there's heaps of stuff you can change on them, but there's kind of the only like two or three really simple ones that could make like probably the biggest difference in how the car feels. So you got throttle curve and then your steering curve. So with the throttle curve, if your car is like kind of a bit too powerful or something off the initial kind of throttle of that, you can adjust the curve so it's more linear or more progressive kind of thing. So you kind of dull it down a bit and the throttle will be a lot smoother. But I'll use that a lot more for low grip as well. And then, low grip. And then you go the other way or just keep it as like the straight line at the zero kind of setting.
Is that similar to the drive frequency ESC setting? Or
yeah, very similar. Yeah, but it's just kind of displayed in a different way on the radio. Yeah. Yeah, so then if it's a high grip, you kind of go back to the zero setting for the high grip, a bit more power off the start as well.
So
And
I
then
do that for steering. So this is, we talk about steering now, aren't you? Yeah.
yeah, so it's very similar with steering. If you want a more kind of smoother feel, you kind of dull it down a bit and it'll have a bit more slower kind of reaction at the start, and then it kind of ramps up a bit. And then yeah, if it's higher grip or you need that bit more kind of sensitivity in the steering, you kind of put it back to zero.
And Geordie, also an important thing is the end points of your steering, so you're not putting pressure on your servo, right? Is that another thing?
Yeah, the end point. So you kind of, yeah, when you set it up, you can put your car with how it is set up, ready to go out on the track on like the setup board, and then go full lock one way or full lock the other way, and you double, and you just change the end points until the steering linkage isn't rubbing against the like caster block. Just back it off until then, just so it's not putting too much like stress on the servo.
Awesome. And that's all you normally do.
Yeah, well, that's really all I change. I mean, there's heaps of other things you can change, but you don't want to get too lost in the settings.
There's
Yeah.
probably enough settings in the car to worry about without worrying it too much, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you change the car settings before you kind of change the radio settings.
Are you what radio do you use? Are you sponsored by a radio manufacturer?
I'm not sponsored, but I use the Futaba 7PXR.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great radio. I used to run the Sanwa MT44 before that, which is more like a mid-level radio. Yeah, going from that to the Futaba was a huge jump up.
Yeah, I've got the Sanwa M17, which
Yeah.
is their top of the line one, I think.
Yeah.
But I love it. It's I don't know. I don't have any. I've never tried another radio. Sanwa seems to work, but I see a lot of good people using it, so I
Yeah.
assume it's still a good radio.
Yeah, either Sanwa or Futaba are probably the leading companies out there right
Are
now, I
your
think.
servos? Do you have Futaba servos, or are you just different servos?
I used to run the Reedy, but I've kind of progressed over to the Futaba. I've got the Futaba one in my four-wheel drive. And what I really like about it is you can kind of change the settings from the radio, so the steering servo settings. So it's because they're Futaba and Futaba,
Yeah,
they kind of
I've
hit.
got Sanwa ones for the same reason. You can do that. You can
Yeah.
program the servo from
Yeah.
the radio.
Yeah,
Cool.
they're really good.
And this is more for me, but I'm assuming other people might want to ask. So it's like an interview, sorry. But your servos, do you have like mine are the big ones? Like, do you have the slimmer ones or
Yeah, I run the short version in both my two-wheel and four-wheel drive.
Is that for weight or space or both or?
Yeah, mainly for the weight because they're a fair amount lighter than the full size. Yeah.
Cool.
And it allows a bit more room in the like electronics tray to have it a bit more cleaner as well.
So I'm going to keep going because this is fun. Do you use weights, like battery weights or weights at all? Like, do you have brass C block or anything like that? Do you use that?
Yeah. So in my two-wheel drive, I have to run I think there's a 26-gram weight under my battery. Otherwise, the car is underweight. So you have to run that just for the weight,
So your
just
car
to
is
have it
that
for.
light. So my car is never. I haven't done the XB2 and I've super good. I've gotten better with the wires. So my wires, I used to have wires like bunched up
Yeah,
with a. So
like a mess. Yeah.
so I've now done it so they're exactly the width. So if I have to move to a different car, I'm dead. But so I haven't weighed it because I haven't finished it. But I've never had a car underweight. So your XB2 without the weight is under 1500.
Yeah, so out of the kit setup, it's actually underweight. So even without any titanium or lightweight parts, it's underweight.
Oh,
So that's
so
why I've had to put the 26-gram battery weight underneath the battery.
I'm gonna weigh. I'll weigh
But
my car then. Thank you. That won't be illegal.
yeah,
That's good.
I'm also running a shorty battery, so that's probably another reason. But the shorty battery allows you to keep the center of gravity very low as well.
Yeah, I run shorties originally. They started bulging. I actually just threw them out. So my ones I've got now aren't. They're Reedy batteries, I think. They're not shorty. But I quite like with the shorty. So what milliamp hour rating are yours?
I've got the 4400s in
Yeah.
both my cars,
And you don't
the
find it
insulator.
goes soft? It stays.
No, I find they last about 8 9 minutes, but
Oh.
obviously you don't run them for that long.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can get like probably two runs out of one battery.
Wow.
So yeah, they lasted a long time.
Soft cracker. I always felt like it got soft, but there's no way it would be if yours. I had 4200, to be fair.
Yeah.
I got 48s now, and I find that I like them. I just feel like the car feels the same at the end of the run.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, after a couple of years, they kind of softened up a bit as well.
Yeah.
So you got to be replacing them every year or two.
Is that so batteries every year or two? Servos. Do you have any problem with them? Like, do they age?
No, well, I've just got a fairly new one in my four-wheel drive, the new Futaba one. But, yeah, I've had the Reedy one in my two-wheel drive for a couple of years, and that's lasted a fair while as well.
Yeah, awesome.
If you treat them right and don't bash them up all the time, they last forever.
So I always charge at 1C, and I always – so people don't know what that means. You charge it at the rating. So if it's 4,800, you do it at 4.8 amps. That's what the amp hours, right? So you do it. So theoretically, it's 1 hour from dead to full, but they never should be dead. Yeah. And I always do storage charge if I'm not racing for a while. Okay, cool. That's awesome. Sorry. So wrenching corners, what it's about. So it's pretty good. That's just ad lib. So the actual topic, so hopefully, Carlo, that answers some of your questions. Thank you for the question. Anyone's got any questions for us, please just send them through Geordie or me, either personally on Messenger or Facebook or the Guns GRC Racing Facebook page or Geordie's Facebook page, anything you want. Just fire us questions and we'll answer them as best we can. Geordie, Roll Centre. So last week we talked about ride height and camber and toe. So Roll Centre is a bit more probably the next level thing, I guess, to talk about.
Yeah, so with Roll Centre, it's kind of the two pivot points on your car It's kind of at the turnbuckle and then where the arm meets. They're kind of like the two main pivot points when the car kind of rolls a bit. So usually a lower roll center, which means you either have more shims under the ball stud or the arm is lower, that's a lower roll center. So that's usually more for a low grip track or if you need the tire to roll more or the other way around as well. And then a higher roll center, it's usually less shim under the turnbuckle and then having the arm raised up a bit so the tire doesn't roll much. That's usually for a higher grip track as well. And it also depends on what tire you run. Usually a pin tire has a more rounded profile, so you want the tire to roll more. And then usually a bar style tire has a more flatter profile, so you don't want the tire to roll much.
Wow, I just learned something. It's awesome. So glad we asked that. I didn't know this much. So if you put shims, if you raise your camber links in the back with shims, that's lowering the roll center, right?
It's kind of like the opposite. Yeah. If you add more, it's lower. If you take out shims, it's higher.
What about the outside? If that has an effect to roll center, if I raise the outside ones, it actually has the opposite effect of the inside, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so, but you don't really change the outside.
Right. So it's just the inside one. Okay, cool. That's awesome. Now, do you have your Essential RC book handy?
I do. It's ready.
I'm going to hold it up. So if you are curious about this stuff and you don't remember it all, that book is amazing.
It is.
I've talked about it on my YouTube channel before. I'm not affiliated. I don't get any credits for it. We know Ray Monday. And he's done a lot of contribution to the book. It's unreal. Do you agree, Geordie?
Even for pro drivers, like, I've learned heaps just reading that as well. Yeah.
It's unreal. Yep. And it's got a part there where he goes, it's like a guide to go, I'm loose on power out of a corner. And you look it up and it says, try this.
Yeah.
For someone at my level, that is amazing. So I found at first, the first stage was learning what the car was doing. So when I first asked someone to help, they go, so is it loose on power or loose when you're under brake? And I'm like, I don't know. Loose. So learning that first is trying to understand what the car's doing when you're doing your inputs. If you know that, then the book's amazing, I think, because it can really help you.
Yeah, it's got everything you need to know, even about track, how the tracks are, what tires to use, electronic settings as well.
It's insane. We are so lucky that book is, I tell you, because everyone who wants to race, if you want to race semi-seriously at all, clubbies, just buy the book. There's a There's a PDF version that's much cheaper because, I mean, they're, it's not a big matter. It's not a big company making it, right? Like, it's a couple of guys. So it's expensive to buy the physical book because they don't print millions of them. So you can get a PDF version on your iPad so you can take it to the track with you or your phone. But, I can't recommend it enough. If you want to race and be – like, I'm a stock racer, you know, B-main kind of thing. I love the book. So, I'd recommend it.
Yeah, and Ray Monday also has some tech talks in there as well, which are really good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anyway, sorry, another segue, but that's a good – anyway, if you're with the wrenching corner, if you hear things from Jordy talking about roll centers and stuff, I never thought about it with the wheels, the profile of the wheel, tires.
Yeah, that makes a big difference on it.
So can you say it again? Say if it's pin tires, you want it to roll more?
Yeah. Usually, if the tire has a more rounded profile, you want the car to roll a bit more.
Right.
Just so it uses more of the side of the tire.
That's unreal. And you do that by, if you raise the roll center, it'll roll more?
Yes.
I had to think about that. All right, cool.
The shims. Yeah. Well, that's more roll center.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay. Awesome. Wow, that's really good.
It can be confusing, but once you know it, it's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you change the roll center, You should always check the ride height, shouldn't you? Whatever you do after anything.
Yeah, well, any change you make to the car, you always got to recheck the ride height and camber. Especially with roll center, that really changes the camber as well.
Yeah, obviously it would because it's the okay. And I also think so things like the arm length. That's a thing. You know, there's different holes you can choose. Like you can move it in. So if you just say you got minus one camber, and then you move the arm into the inner hole. That obviously brings your camber in. But if you put the camber back to where it was, the camber is the same, but the length of the arm makes a difference to the car as well, doesn't it, obviously?
Yeah, well, it also changes the track width of the car as well.
Yeah.
Wow. Usually having it more out is more stable and better for high grip. That's what we did to the cars at the state titles because it was high grip. We moved the arms out just to make the car a bit more stable.
You told me that, the pills, right? So the C&D block, you said move everything. I remember doing that. Right, so if I go back to a low grip, say at heel or something, I should put them back in maybe, right?
Yeah, if it's low grip or bumpy, yeah.
I'm going to get so fast on this podcast. This is awesome. Watch out. I've got these two dudes, Bill and Chris Taylor, Bill Zorbalis. So the three of us are just ridiculously close in time. So, I'm hoping that this will give me a leg up. If they listen to this, they'll get the same advantage, so that won't work. But anyway. We'll see how it goes. All right. All three of us are racing on Saturday, so I'll come back with a report about how much I've beaten by.
Sounds good. Are you going to be racing a new tool drive then?
Yeah, debut. With a 10.5 in it. So, it should be fun. I'm just going completely kit set up. I haven't changed a single thing. I've done everything that's in the book. I'm just going to take that. I'll just get used to it. And then I'll tweak it from there.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. Good plan.
It's going to be awesome. There's another good trick for people. Right, okay, so we're going to – that wraps up Wrenching Corner. That was great, Jordy. Thank you again. And we're going to take a break and come back. We're going to talk about a topic. Is stock too fast? Here with Jordy once again, and Jordy, we're going to talk about a topic today that a few people have pinged us about and spoken about in the past, and it's a lot of the times it gets talked about in the pits of races. Yeah. It's is stock too fast? So before we do any, we've got some hard stats from Victorian state titles. Before we do that, what's your general consensus? What are your thoughts on this topic, Jordy?
Well, it's definitely been talked about a lot recently with the speed of the stock cars being just about the same as the mod cars over one lap.
And I think if we think about it, stock, I imagine, was introduced to be an introduction for people before they race mod, right?
That's what it's meant to be for.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's become so fast and so expensive, some of the stock motors are more expensive than the mod motors now, right? Like the Trinity ones.
Oh, really?
You know, so there's that problem. And it's so quick that I don't know whether it is a good intro class anymore. In fact, at Ride, we run 5:40. In Victoria, they run 21.5, don't they?
Yeah, I believe it's almost the same speed as 5:40.
Yeah, okay. So that's a class now where new people come to the club. They do 5:40 first, then they go to stock. And in Sydney, at least, pretty much no one ends up going to mod, right? Because you've got some super fast drivers. Mod, with stock, we're getting 50 drivers. It's unreal, right? But the question is whether it's too fast. Like at the IFMA level, stock doesn't exist, right? So when you go to Worlds, there's no stock. It's just mod.
No, modified. Yeah.
So we've got some numbers that we're going to talk about. I'm going to just go for the numbers, Geordie, and I'm going to get your opinion. So Ray Monday is one of the fastest guys in mod. Andrew Savaggi. Is it Savaggi?
Savaggi.
Okay. Andrew Savaggi won stock pretty handsomely. He's been a mod driver in the past. But what people might not realize is that, so in Q1, in four-wheel drive, Ray came third behind you and Lachlan Monday. Andrew actually went 2 seconds faster than him in overall time and beat Ray's fastest time by 0.2 with a stock car. They're both driving the same cars, the B6.3D. They're both semi-pro, so they've both got all the greatest gear and everything. So Andrew was faster in both the first and second qualifiers of four-wheel drive mod, where Ray was third and fourth. So we're not talking about someone coming back of the mod. This is someone who was third and fourth, and the fastest stock guy was faster than him. So he was the third fastest person in qualifying for two of the qualifiers in four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
I don't know. That blew me away, right? I was blown away.
Yeah. Oh, I feel the same. It's pretty insane how a stock car can be that quick compared to a pro modified driver as well.
And Andrew wasn't, I mean, he won the stock, but he didn't blow Brendan Soler off the park either, right? Like they were close. So it wasn't as if, Brendan wouldn't be much slower.
Even Justin and Brendan, they both put up a good fight against Andrew.
Yeah, they did. And they're using TLRs and different cars, but they're still stock. So if they use their stock cars in the mod race, they would have come midfield of the A main.
Yeah, for sure. That
feels kind of insane to me, right? I don't know, so.
It is pretty insane.
Yeah.
They can obviously drive a car really good as well.
Yeah. I don't know. Locally, there's a lot of chatter about it. I mentioned Ride don't run stock anymore, right? Ride just run open, and they run 5:40. So when new people come, they use They either go into the novice, or they'll go into the 5:40 class. And it's super cheap to get into. Like it's a good class to start with, right? And then there's no stock anymore. So it's a pretty bold move by the club. Hills haven't done that. Hills have kept stock and mod. But there's a lot of chatter around trying to change. Like there's talk around making 17.5 the four-wheel drive motor and 21.5 the two-wheel drive motor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That is the actual – the current thing being considered is that. Now, how serious it being considered, I don't know. Like, and until New South Wales state titles change officially – I'm pretty sure it's never going to change, right? You're not going to run that at a club and then all of a sudden everyone has to change their motors for state titles. But
When I used to run in stock in 2016, that was when they had the 17.5 in the four-wheel drive.
Wow.
That was probably – everyone thought that was quick, but, they went to the 13.5, which is even quicker.
So that's what they're saying to go back to, 17.5 in the four-wheel drive and then 21.5 in the two. Because that means – a lot of the quick guys in stock probably will find it too slow.
Yeah.
And they'll go, okay, well, I'll just run mod, which will improve the mod numbers. And it provides a better entry. Like, interested in what the listeners think. This is a pretty polarizing topic. I know a lot of the stock guys are like, well, stock's great. Why would we bother? We're never going to beat the mod guys. We're never going to go to a Worlds. So, but I don't know. Like, for me, I'm a stock guy and I kind of feel it would be better if it was slowed down, but.
Yeah. Well, it kind of depends, especially the cost of stock. It's a lot cheaper than modified as well. So that's probably why people stay in stock, just due to the tire wear.
Yeah.
And obviously in mod, go quicker, you have bigger crashes and you might break more stuff as well.
Yeah, that's true as well. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's an interesting one. And the other thing about stock, I mean, you talk about for breakages and wear, 100% it's cheaper.
Yeah.
But for actually the car, because you're trying to eke everything out of the car, people are more inclined to spend money on hop-ups and titanium and, you know, MIP systems, whatever they can do to make the car faster and legal. And then you've got the Trinity motors, which obviously are super expensive because they're, you know, factory set. So I don't know, like maybe it's probably not cheaper to get into, but it is cheaper in times of wear. But yeah. So I'm interested to hear what the people listening, what do you think? Please put a comment in the YouTube channel or comment on the, just send us what you think. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Geordie. Like, I mean, I'd love to, like for me, when I came to Vic State titles, I considered going in the mod, right? Because I was racing mod at
Yeah.
Mod. But I was like, man, yeah, it's a bit nuts. Like they're going to be, I mean, you got 20 people at it might have been okay. I might have been able to squeeze in the A's maybe. But that means, that to me means the A's in the mod would be easier to get into than the A's in the stock.
Yeah.
Is that true? I'm not sure if that's true.
It kind of is true, but you got to think about the level from the top guys to the average Joe kind of guys as well.
Yeah, which is much, much higher.
Yeah, because in if you think about everyone in the stock A main was super quick, and even if in the B main of stock, there was some really quick drivers as well. But then in the modified class, we kind of had probably about 10 really quick guys, and then the rest.
It dropped off.
Everyone was still quick. I'm not saying anyone's slow, but just kind of a bit more of a difference in everyone's skill.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting topic. I don't know. We're not going to, obviously, not for us to solve. And like I said, I'm racing mod at Ride, but when it comes to the state titles, I'll switch back to stock in its current form because it's going to be a big, big field. And but anyway. But you mentioned earlier, I don't know, was this on the show that, at Keilor this weekend, you might get 10 or 15 mod drivers?
Yes, we usually get about two heats of modified on a club day.
So in Sydney, I said earlier, they get 5 or 6, right? Even for a massive club day of 100 people, we'll get 6. So
that's correct.
If you were in mod in that situation, I'm going to ask Jared when we get him on, but would you prefer to have – even if they're slower, more people in the – or you're happy just to race against the 6 fastest guys that are there?
Oh, I mean, everyone wants to race against faster guys, but I think, especially if you're new to the sport, stock is heaps better to learn your car setup and everything. But it's more competitive in stock because you have 20 or 30 guys at all the same level, whereas you have about 10 of the same guys at the same level.
Yeah, interesting. All right, anyway, so – just thought I'd say, I mean, like if we came down to Wodonga with all the guys in, like that's where mod's at its finest, right? When you've got all the fast guys.
National A main field. I'm just missing probably 2 or 3 guys.
Yeah, Chris Sturdy.
Matty Cooper.
Kyle McBride, if he's got a race, which I think he is.
Yeah.
Apparently he's going down to the 1/8 Canberra Proline race. if I can get on the same track with that guy, I'll be so happy as he zooms past me. I don't know. I won't be in his heat. I don't know how many people are going, so you never know.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to happen. It probably won't. But man, I'll be so excited to race with that guy. It'll be awesome. He's going to come on the show, by the way, in the future.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So, are you going to say?
No, that's all right.
No, cool.
Keep up.
All right, no worries. I think that's it, really. Yeah, I think that was it. I think I wanted to talk about, I hope Andrew doesn't mind. I don't think he will. Like, we're not saying anything bad about anyone. It's just that, if anything, we're saying Andrew's a super fast driver. But I don't think anyone realised that how quick he was compared to the mod guys. It was interesting to see how quick he actually was. It was
good.
All right, cool, Geordie. That wraps up the episode 2. We have to do the interview with Jared, which failed today. So I won't put the podcast out straight away until we get that interview done. But thanks, mate. Good luck with your racing.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Like winning Wodonga would be a pretty big thing for you, right? I'd imagine.
I mean, yeah, even though it's not a sanctioned event, winning against those guys would be really cool.
Mate, it's a tough field. I'm so excited. I wish I could watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely wish I could record it. It's going to be insane.
It will be, yeah.
It'll be on Live RC, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it will be. Oh, I'm not actually too sure if we're going to do Live RC or a different platform.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I don't mind watching Live RC sometimes when it's something I care about.
But yeah, cool.
And yeah, you've got good luck in this Saturday as well.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm at Ryde, hopefully getting the A main. We'll see how we go. I'm a chance. Last time I went there, I made A in one of them. Can't remember which one, but yeah, I think it was a four drive. But yeah, hopefully I will. Debut for the XB2, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'll be switching to 1/8, which is kind of insane, but should be good. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks to the people who reached out to Geordie and I.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, really appreciated the feedback. It's encouraging to know that people like what we're doing. We're trying our best to improve the scene. So any tips, comments about improving the show, things you want to see more, things you want to see less or hear less, please let us know.
Great.
All right, next show we talk about our racing, Geordie. It'd be great, mate. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend. And I'll chat to you soon, bud.
Yeah, thank you. See you, Andrew.
All right, cheers. Peace out, everyone.